Curtis. Oh, steery quiet.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, you're in there. That's good.
Hey, how's it going, Ed?
Yeah, really good. Thanks, mate. Just before we start, I've just seen some copycats in America who are Adcast name.
What? There's an Adcast podcast in America.
Yeah. It's got the same name and everything.
What? Serious?
Yeah. It's not quite like us, but it's effectively doing the same thing. They take adverts and get people, I think it's comedians, to remake them. So rather than being, this is, serious, this is what we do, it's this is taking the piss out of what they've just done.
Ah, but like, so what do they do? Do they review adverts, or is it just?
I think it's just taking the piss out of them, to be honest.
Well, it seems quite crap. I won't be listening to it.
I might give a listen. If it's funny, I'll keep it on.
Oh, fair enough. Anyways, you're tuning into the real Adcast, ladies and gents. brought to you by always as by me, Gurdas Singh, and my busy co-host.
Yeah,
Ed Hollands is with us when he could spare a bit of time for the peasants. He makes his time for me, and we record this fantastic podcast reviewing proper adverts and doing it in a proper manner. But so everybody, thanks for listening. Ed, thanks for joining me as always.
Oh, managed to find the time. Sorry about pushing it back.
Yeah.
Again.
Nah,
again.
Don't worry about it, mate. It happens. it's one of them. It's pretty fair. You know, podcasting generally, right? Everybody always says, it's a nice little executive tool. Oh, yeah, you should do a podcast. You should do this. Nobody realises how much of a ball ache it is to actually run a podcast.
It's not just the recording of it. It's also the editing in it and the uploading of it. It's lots of time.
It's a lot of time, and for people like us, like especially you, like time is a bit hard, like to spare, really. But like even now, like for instance, we've made the conscious decision of like, ideally, we'd love to have video and do it that way. But in the near future, we're going to get back to that. But for now, it's just easier just to do it over the phone sometimes, and just I know the quality suffers, but hey, some things we just need to get off our chest, don't we, Ed?
Absolutely, I've got a few burning things I want to talk about.
Go on, mate. Go on, let's kick it off, mate. Go on.
Well, have you seen the adverts for Revolut, the sort of new startup bank?
Revolut? I can't even say I've even heard of that company, to be fair. Let me Google these.
It's effectively a transfer business. So it works effectively the same as a bank account. So you transfer money to the Revolut card and you pay for stuff using the Revolut card. Essentially, over the last like 3 months, everything they've done is horribly wrong. So do you remember the famous adverts for Spotify? You know, like 3,000 people.
Also, they're the ones that copied that advert. Because I know somebody tried copying the Spotify advert. It was them.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah, so the criticism is, A, it's a copycat advert. B, it's a bank. Yeah. Why are you sharing what people are spending money on? And see, it's just come out. They made that data up.
Ooh, interesting! Nice advertising standard agency. You're going to have a nice little field trip on them, aren't they? but to be fair though, see, this is the problem. I think this is a good topic to get into because it's just again, it's just other brands like piggybacking off what's been done and just say, oh, that seemed to have worked. Let's just do it. Where's the creativity? Where's the spark? You know what I mean? Where's that drive? The whole thing is like the individuality of each business, each brand, and showing it. Spotify done it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for you. Doesn't necessarily mean it's for your audience. It definitely isn't if you're sharing private financial like data of the public in a national ad campaign. It just doesn't make sense.
The thing is, I actually like one of them. Like, there's one that says, to the person in South London who bought a drone at Christmas, was it you? Well, I think that's really clever because it plays on recent events. It's highly topical because I reckon it's probably in a tube car in that kind of area. Well, even if it is across London, that makes sense. That's a bit different. The ones where it's to, like, the to the you know, 11,867 people who bought vegan sausage rolls this month. Piers is fuming. That's a bit like, yeah, that is so totally copycat.
Yeah, it's the thing is that something like that might work for your social media channel. You know, it's interesting. I got put onto this company called Social Chain. The founder Stephen Bartlett, who put me onto it. It was Jetty, you know, our knight in shining armor when it comes to the video aspect of the podcast. And basically, I was looking into this guy's videos, and he had a great point. He was like, he's talking about social media and how making it relevant for some businesses are quite boring and it's hard. And he was like, look, it's just basically seeing where your brand fits. Like fitting your brand into a trending topic, not just basically jumping into and clout chasing and jumping into anything and everything. That seems to me personally, that seems like you're just begging for attention.
Can I run with that point? Because that was actually my second topic I wanted to talk about.
Go on, mate.
So that's actually called trend jacking.
So there's actually they've coined a phase for it. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. So there's sort of high-level trend jacking, which is what Gillette and a few other people are doing, where you literally say, this is our cause and this is what we're going to do about it. And there's sort of a low-level trend jacking, which is where, you know, like these challenges that come up on Twitter, like the 10-year challenge and stuff like that. So the example I'm going to give, which no one will have heard of, there's a bank in, I think it's Shanghai, that's called OCBC Bank. So for the 10-year challenge, they put a picture up of a mobile bus with a bank in it from 1958, and then today is obviously an app because that's mobile banking. It's not about paying for stuff, it's using social media, is really clever, because you know people are going to come to your site, and if it's relevant and it's, you know, on topic, then it's great. It requires a little bit more effort, but people and the results speak to themselves. Like that post saw organic reach more than 300% of the normal engagements, the number of engagements up by over 800%. And it's got loads of new followers, which, you know, if you're doing it regularly and often, it's fine, you know, as long as it matches with your brand values and stuff like that. But also your consumers have to care about it, because there's no point doing it if your audience are doing it, then great, do it, because it's kind of making you more relevant, more of a friend than a brand. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I get the whole friend more than a friend than a brand, because I mean, how it works is, look, I mean, generally certain types of businesses, like it all feeds into, I think this all feeds into A, the personification of your brand, which I'm a big ambassador of that. Like, I'd love to see brands like personify their brand and fit it into everyday things. It's good, but then, like, obviously, there's a fine line, and it also plays into like personal branding.
Yeah.
But I just think that there's ways of doing it well, and sometimes it just comes across as it's too much, that we don't need to know this about you. You don't need to relate to this particular topic right now. It doesn't make sense to you, you know, whatever you're doing. It's just a lot of the times it's just an attention seeking exercise.
Well, I think you're right. So this Drum article that I've read earlier is probably doing exactly the same. Is, you know, how can you trend jack without rocking the boat too much? Because, you know, there's some brands that you know, you have a reputation, and equally you don't really want to rock the boat too much. You want to be out there and, you know, obviously getting your posts in front of the right people, but equally you don't want to be national news for something that you didn't quite plan for.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. I mean, it just comes back down to fitting your brand where it actually, placing your brand where it actually fits, and not just attaching it to any trending topic. This is quite a good segue, actually, because it comes down to, like, as I was saying, like personal branding and this whole trend jacking thing. It plays into what something that I posted about yesterday. So you would have heard that Kylie Jenner is the youngest
billionaire.
Youngest ever billionaire. But what really pissed me off about this was the fact that she was branded as a self-made billionaire.
If I remember correctly, she's got some family wealth.
Well, so Okay, so for those that don't know, so I'm assuming, Ed, you probably wouldn't know like the whole Jenner Kardashian thing, so, because you know you've hardly got time to record this podcast. So I'd be very pissed if you're watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians on the side. You know
Oh,
what
I know of Kylie Jenner. That's
I mean?
about it.
So basically, she is. So you know Kim Kardashian. Yeah. So Kim. I wonder how. Anyway, so Kim Kardashian is so she's got her mother, whose name is Kris Jenner. It's Kim Kardashian. She's got two other sisters who are Kardashians, but Kris Jenner, her mother, so she married Bruce Jenner at the time, and they had a few kids. Kylie was one of them, and Courtney was one of them. So it's like the Jenner slash Kardashian family brand. So Kylie Jenner is literally Kim Kardashian's sister. So the whole thing, my half sister. So my whole argument is, firstly, she can never be branded as self-made. She's had all that, like the Kardashian brand was a thing before like Kylie Jenner started erupting on the scene, kind of thing. So that
So
was
it
a, and that.
is kind of it's kind of she had a lot of assistance to get there. It wasn't like Facebook, which
I'll
was
put it this
literally
way.
an idea that came from a dorm room.
Exactly. Well, exactly. That's what. One second. Put it like this. So she was on the Kardashian show before she like formed herself and you know became before she became an adult. She was on the Kardashian show. So she was on like a hit TV show from like day one. Yeah, she's had that them eyeballs on her straight away. Her social media profiles and everything were already like massive from a young age, early teens. So she's already had that. On top of that, she's got like multi-millionaires right next to her sisters and the brain of the whole operation, her mother. You're telling me they haven't got a team of creative people, of strategists, of like everybody behind them? Of course they have. On top of that, if you ever watch their show, which is a bit of a joke, the kind of storylines they come out with and like the conniving little things that happen, like some of like for instance, one of her sisters was caught in her one of her sister's partners was recently caught in an affair scandal. People are saying they staged that just so it gets the ratings up for the show. So this is the kind of underhand tactics that this family is known to do. And like, so she's
What I'm
got.
hearing here, Gerdes, is you're watching the show to slate
No, that to be fair, I don't watch it. I see it comes across bad now because it comes across as if I watch it and sit there and disappoint.
You've done a
But
lot of
really, the
research
thing
and you don't
is.
watch this.
But I listen to a lot of podcasts who talk about it, and B, this is my whole point. Why are we as, and I'm guilty of it as well. Why are we as a society paying attention to people like this that aren't really naturally talented? They're not gifted in any way. It's the team behind her that have like stayed. That A, she's created a buzz. Her sister created the buzz initially, but we all know how she did it. And like everybody's feeding into this like the stupid mentality. Everybody's feeding into them. They've got attention. And they're just clever enough to employ the right people behind the scenes to formulate that into money. But like,
I
why
think
are
you've
we
got a
paying
good
them more
point
attention
here,
than people?
Gerdes, is it's
Yeah.
not about the person at the top, it's about the team. And you know, if that's the only thing we take from it, you know, you can be the stupidest person in the room, but if you've got a team of people who are, you know, who
Yeah.
you empower to make the
Yeah.
right decisions, it doesn't matter
Yeah, it's
because
true, man.
they'll do
Yeah,
it
I
for you.
100% agree with that. The thing is, I'm not slating it. I'm just slating the fact that A, she's not self-made, so let's get over that. And B, I don't see why everybody like, what's the fascination? That's the second thing. But one thing, when I posted about it, one thing I did hear from people is that A, and I agree with this. A, look, if it inspires other people to do similar things, more power to her. Like if she spawns other billionaires from her like her generation doing what she's doing, why not? Why not? That's creating wealth. That's fantastic. And another thing was like there's many kids that are in her are have had her background and have just gone off the rails and she hasn't, so fair play to her for that. But all I'm saying is, look, Mark Zuckerberg is not ideally is not the model businessman. He's done a lot of things wrong, but there's clearly a difference between what he founded and what she's founded and
Well,
the way
I
they've gone
think
about it.
out of the two, I'd probably go for Mark Zuckerberg. Yes, he's made mistakes. It's in advertising, which also is a bonus for us. But I think it's more of a, you know, you can learn things from his journey, even if we don't agree with the things he's done. And I think it brings up a good point about privacy and, you know, using personal data for advertising, which obviously neither of us two are gonna I'll consider, but perhaps some of our listeners are in that space of, is it going to put them off or not? You know, YouTube just got caught up in another scandal. I can't remember. I think it was P&G just pulled adverts, because it was displaying adverts on some really, not appropriate things.
Yeah, I mean, Google's always caught up in this kind of stuff. But the thing is, what it is it, as soon as you give that power to a third party of data and stuff like that, you can never be sure of how it's going to be used correctly. And one thing that always comes down to, one thing I'd like to say, a quotable to take away from this is whenever anything is free, you are the product.
Yeah.
So remember that. I mean, whenever, anytime you sign up for anything that's free or a service that's used for free, think why. It's because you're the product. Your data is being sold, and that's how it works. So it's a murky world at the minute with the data thing and everything like that. And to be honest, I want to ask you, like, do you really think GDPR has made a huge difference?
No, not really at all. I probably get about the same number of spam emails. They just come from abroad, which is, so it makes it a lot easier to identify the spam ones.
Yeah. Oh yeah. To be fair, it's true. You know, I still do get a fair few spam emails. To be fair,
but I'll tell you what I've done, Gerdus. It's actually, because you know my email used to be advertising at Driven Media.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah,
under GDPR, you can email me, and it wouldn't be. But now I've changed my email to, I'm going to regret this out now, but ed@drivenmedia.co.uk. You can't now email with direct marketing without my consent. Tiny change, and to be honest,
as it's your name,
and if you email advertising, I still get it, but I'm more likely to go, that's spam.
Oh, okay. So what is the regulation under that? So it's because it's a person's name.
Yeah, so it counts as personal information.
It's not generic.
So you either need consent or a legitimate reason to contact me. Obviously, if you're selling stuff, then you need either my permission or it's B2B, so it's a bit more fluffy. If I was a B2C company, or a person with that email, you'd be absolutely boned because you'd have to have my permission or the consent to, not the consent, the legitimate reason to contact me.
Well, I can see where things have changed with GDPR, and it has made a bit of a difference. But I think it's just part of a bigger plan, a bigger project, isn't it? I think it'll be a while until we start seeing, like. This is the thing. I mean, we're in a sticky situation because everybody's really really self-aware with the whole data thing. But B, that's exactly where everything is moving. Everything is moving towards that, more like the targeting aspect and like the specificity with the data. And it's a funny little thing. But we're quite lucky in that respect. We're in the outdoor advertising space where it's
you've already got these adverts that. It was Honda or something like that. So there, near a car park, there was a digital sign and it had a number plate reader. So if you drove in, it would say, "Hey, Blue Ford, you should go for something that's better.
Okay.
We're the brand of the year or something." And equally, if a Honda drove in, it would go, "Great choice, mate." It was a bit like borderline. It wasn't giving away too much information because equally a number plate is out there.
Yeah.
But equally, you could use that number plate to gain someone's name, details, etc. through the DVLA.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really clever.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, it's clever though. I thought it was quite clever. Again, it comes down to
it's making it more personalised rather than just being a banner ad that you can ignore, because it's changing. It's like, that's actually talking to me. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. It's got your attention. Job done.
Mm. To be fair, like, so this is the thing that I wanted to like touch on a little bit. If we just get away,
Curtis is not sending another email again.
The whole data thing, because I'm getting nervous. But
I think just before we move on,
yeah, I'm always careful now. You know, I'm always like, yeah, I better be careful.
The ICO has said it's going to be more of an advisor than a you know, whip wielder. So if you make a mistake and they notice, you know, the first couple of times it's going to be, look, you know, these are the rules, please don't do it. They'll try and help you get it right. And if you're a persistent offender, that's when they're going to go, right, fine, slap, bang, there you go, job done. So, you know, a couple, yeah, and there's no way you can expect businesses not to make mistakes. You know, okay, the large corporates, yeah, maybe, you know,
I think that's fair. To do it, but, that's fair.
You know, someone who runs a business like us, you know, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 in a team, you know, you're so busy running the business and trying to keep your head above water, you know the rules are, and you know you should follow them, but mistakes are going to happen because it's not a compliance person or system. You should, but
it's not head. It's, no, you're right, but even then, it's not like, you know, some people don't know what the rules are. I mean, it that is the case as well. I mean, if you're just... No, I'm not saying me. I'm just saying generally, like, some people wouldn't know. I mean, they're just trying to do what they think is going to work. And so obviously, like you said, carry on keeping their head above the water. I mean, a larger number of SMEs and smaller businesses, they may know, but
I think
may
it
not.
Should be continuous. You know, this is what companies should be doing. This is what you should be expecting.
Should be another drive.
And I think what they'll find is they'll get lots of people going, oh, you know, that email's a bit dodgy, and then someone getting a slap on the wrist. And then hopefully it stops happening. I think the problem is if you get away with it once, it's like speeding on the motorway. If you get away with it once, you're more inclined to do it again. And equally, if you've got to wait for so long and then you suddenly start getting caught, you get really annoyed. So there's a case, I think it was either today or yesterday, where policemen were attacked in their van because someone got caught speeding there. And it's just like, you know, there's so many roads, it's not that hard to keep under a speed limit. You know, obviously there's times where you lose concentration, but if you know what the speed limit is, and...
Yeah. But you know what, though? I tell you what, one thing I'm gonna butt in, and this is so off topic, but like, I'm really against like the speeding laws at the minute, because if you really look into it, the change long ago. And technically, if you're 1 mile over,
I think what you'll find is actually your speedo is wrong. So if it's a 30 it's mile, set lower to
and
what
that's,
you used
that's ridiculous.
So even if you're doing like 33 on your speedo, you're probably doing about 39, maybe 30, depends on the age of the car.
I don't think it's that. No, I don't think it's set to that level. Because even like, for instance, I drive my TomTom as well.
Yeah,
and like, that will have like your speed, the speed you're traveling at as well. And it's usually not too far off, to be fair. But like,
I'll be honest.
What
I'm trying
to say is,
do you know why that was?
There's not even like, it used to be back
in
the day, it used to be like a
10%
leeway.
Speedo used to go,
so
like,
if you're 33,
like,
you're okay.
Go up and down what the actual speed was, so it'd like go bounce. On.
But when I say back in the day, I'm saying like a year ago. I'm saying before this new law came into place, there was like a 10% leeway.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about these new like electric cars that have actually got a digital speedometer, and still like, it was a 10% leeway. I think it's evident in the whole of society and like the councils and government everywhere is the fact that they're really squeezing. They're squeezing on every little aspect, where it's speeding, where it's even like little things like. For instance, in Birmingham next year, the burial cost is going to double. It's so irrelevant. I know this is so irrelevant, but it ties in with everything. It's just like the costs are like skyrocketing. Like the councils and the governments are really squeezing the nation at a time where where Brexit is supposedly around the corner. We don't know what's happening with that, and it all ties in with. I don't know if people might be thinking it's irrelevant, but
well,
it all ties in with.
Let's leave it there.
Commerce,
the
economy, and then
onto Brexit.
In turn with businesses and branding and everything else.
Yeah. So there's an advert.
Let's leave that there before it gets messier. You're gonna say Brexit.
So there's two I found.
Okay.
There's like the title is Brexit, leave or remain, and it's okay. Basically designed to say that it doesn't matter what happens, you know, you can get there at the last minute to come, you know. And the other one is Brexit, no deal. To me, it's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. And I don't really like it. You probably have not watched it, so I'm you know.
Look, we love your
and you've not watched it, so you're gonna have to live with it.
It's really stupid. He's like, I don't like it. I don't like it. Shit. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But to be fair, I haven't seen it. Alright, I haven't seen it. But one thing I will say is it is getting a bit tiresome now, isn't it? This whole EU thing, this whole Brexit thing. Not even just the whole Brexit thing, but the fact that these brands keep playing on it. It comes back down to the trend jacket thing you're talking about. It's like for lastminute.com, it's fair because it makes sense for them. But generally, like, everybody's just jumping on it, and it's just like it's getting really boring. And that's why, like, when somebody else comes along, and actually, it's a great segue for what I want to talk about. Actually, it gets boring. People don't really care. People start looking at your brand and just wishing it wasn't there. Not trying to purposely rhyme there, but Adweek, Adweek. I'm a poet, and I didn't know it. Adweek dropped a tweet, I think, last night, and I was reading it, and I thought, you know, this is quite clever. This is the tweet. It's quite meaningful. Like, if you look in, when I say it, it's going to get you thinking. According to a study, people wouldn't care if 77% of brands.
You know, I think that is so right.
So, what does it take to be a meaningful brand?
There's
in
some
2019?
Brands that you see every day, and they, you know, if you get, you know, you wouldn't necessarily pick them. You just pick them because you saw them before you went to the store, or you know that you were nudged to buy them. But I think that's a really relevant statistic as well.
Very relevant. I mean, it comes down to the fact that it's something that we always talk about as well. Is how are you jumping off the page? How are you jumping off every platform that you're on? And are you on every platform? Why are people saying that 77% of the brands could disappear and we wouldn't care? And it comes down to, again, the behavior of most brands. It's literally following the herd mentality, and they're doing similar things. Again, the trend jacking thing, and just not being creative and not jumping off the page, not sparking minds, not being insightful or thoughtful. And I think a lot of it comes down to
I think it's
A,
original content as well.
Share,
you need
B,
people
who
are original. So you know,
when you
scroll through
the marketing and advertising
Facebook,
world,
you know, Unilad, I'm going to pick on, because they always bring you stuff that you wouldn't find otherwise. And unless that's just me, and I just, you know, the only weird videos I watch are Unilad. But I scroll through Facebook expecting to see it. And if I don't see it,
No, I agree
with
you.
Go and find it, because it's interesting, and I want to distract myself for 5 minutes.
No, yeah, it's true. That's what it is. It's like, even like when you're scrolling through your social media channels, and it's not just like in the outdoor world, but even in the digital world, when you're scrolling through, we see so much every day. Like, we intake. Amount of data we intake, the amount of advertising we intake is incredible. Like, you know, and it's the whole thing of, like, when you're scrolling, what's jumping off? What's, like, what is making? And of course, certain things are going to be attractive.
Goodness, every day we see over 2,500 adverts, and that this is before the age of social media. And less than 1% of them will make an impact. Imagine that statistic now. That's got to be like, you see probably 4,000 adverts a day, and probably less than 0.5% you'll actually either see or actually remember. That's really scary if you're an advertiser, because you need to be in the right place at the right time with the right message.
And that's why I can understand people getting exhausted by it, because what happens is then that brands are constantly then everywhere. They know that they're not going to get a lot of attention span from the audience, so they just flood every, like, the bigger brands will just flood every market. Hence, we were saying last episode, that it's hard to get the smaller businesses on these on you know
and
on
I, and I
outdoor
think
media platforms and
I think
generally
we hire to the point
advertising.
is because
It's because the
agencies
bigger
and
brands just
you know media
flood it.
specialists
So
have got
wherever you
these
look,
deals
you'll be
with
seeing
the
them.
bigger titans
Subconsciously, you've always
that
been
they
seeing them.
have to spend you know million, £2 million a year with them. So you know who's going to go on them? Well, the ones with the budget to go on them. you know they'd rather buy £1,000 at once than two or three individually.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. But look, it comes back down to is the cycle. It comes back down to the fact that, as I've just said in this study, that people don't care about them. That's why like people would want to see these brands disappear, because they're constantly just bombarded and they're just exhausted with it. So it comes back down to being clever, being insightful, being the creative aspect of it. You know, that's what's going to work. I think that's what's going to work in 2019. It's the brains. It's not just flooding every market and, you know, seeing hopefully it's going to kick back. It's actually like formulating a plan and making sure that you are representing exactly what your brand stands for and being creative with it and actually sparking minds, getting them thinking, creating fans in that respect. That would be my input. That's how I'd look at building a brand in 2019. Not just flooding everything. I'd more sample a lot of platforms.
I think it's understanding where your audience is. You know,
so you'd still
not
be,
everyone drives
be
to work.
Spattered around.
Not everyone is going to take tube to work. If you're, if you're targeting London, then tube is great.
Yeah.
If you're targeting the UK, then using the tube is probably not going to reach you everyone you need to.
Well, I think what it is it comes down to like who thing is who's advertising it, and what happens is these brands, it's widespread, aren't they? The ones that are really like the FMCG market, the bigger like you know everyday items, like even the bigger ones like financial, them sort of sectors. The general population is their target audience. Well, you say like commuters and stuff like that. So and they're the ones that are constantly marketing. Because obviously the thing about marketing and advertising is it's all about brand building. It's all about creating that subconscious to the client and your target audience that not only hopefully is going to return, it's going to bring a return on investment, but not only that you're building your ID, you're building your personality with embedding it in their brain, that when it comes to them needing the service you provide, they'll come to you, or the product you provide, they'll come to you rather than your competitor. And that's what brand building is. And it's not only now in 2019 and going forward, it's about creating fans, not creating customers. Because then they're
so your customers
you.
Are
they're
activists.
Following your
they're
social
actually,
media,
you know, they fall in love with the brand. They fall in love with the brand values.
They
choose
have,
to buy
that's
it,
what's, that's,
and
that's
they're actually key. Encouraging other people to do it because you know, and that's probably the way to be. Because you know, if you reach one person, their friends are probably going to be in the same sort of social circle, and then it becomes effectively like word of mouth advertising. Once you've got that one activist, they're going to bring. Probably 5 to 10 people with them, hopefully. And if you can turn
of
them
course,
into activists, you know, that amplifies.
Exactly that. Turn your customers into activists. That great quote.
I've got one more bad ad.
But yeah, shall we move on to good ads and bad ads?
I'll
be honest, I've only got one good ad. I haven't got no bad ads.
On creativity, I think there's a step this advertiser's taken. It's gone too far. So this is for the Cayman Islands, Departments of Tourism, not Transport, sorry. So effectively, obviously it's very famous for its water, you know, blue sea, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But the two adverts that stand out to me, one, there's like a massive iguana with a woman on top of it. Now, if I'm watching that, I'm like, oh, this is like Game of Thrones. This is so cool. In reality, they're not that big. And that's like, if I go there, I'm going to be disappointed. The second one shows underwater flowers and people swimming in and out of them. And again, not real. It's their one of their favorite flowers, and they never grow that big. So again, if I go there expecting to see massive flowers underwater, I'm going to be disappointed. So it's a bit like, I like the idea is okay, The execution is me. He's building my hopes that they're never going to deliver. That's why I put it in the bad ad section.
Fair enough. I mean, see, that's. I like what you said there. Like, they're building your hopes up that they're never going to deliver. And it's if you're able to see that straight away, then definitely it's not. Something's wrong there, isn't it? That's one thing that people. I think that's one thing I think brands have to be careful about.
So my good ad
delivery
is for
expectation
Boots.
And delivery.
If you're listening overseas, yeah, Boots is like what's
your good ad?
Pharmacies. And their TV advert, I think, is really clever. So cosmetics, what do you expect to see? People's faces. Okay. So it basically follows around a group of women, you know, some with disabilities, some with, you know, ethnic backgrounds. And it's all about, it's not how it makes you look, it's how it makes you feel. And that is really, really clever. I like that one. It's basically lots of women's legs and upper bodies. No face until the end.
For those that haven't, like, what exactly happens?
I think with diversity, it's got some, you know, disabled people in it.
Seems a bit generic to me, though.
You don't expect to see in a beauty advert. You know, we're so used to seeing white models. The fact that it opens with a black model and it's got an Asian model in it somewhere. And you know, someone who's lost their legs. It shows, you know, it brings across the message really well. And you know, it's a bit upbeat as well. It's not like it... Well, I've sent it to you, so you'll have to be editing in your thoughts later.
Like, I think like it's just well, I'll have to see it, but when you first describe, yeah, I love it. Yeah, sweet. But what I'm thinking is like, what I'm trying to say is like, the whole diversity thing. It just seems like it's. I'm very careful what I say.
I think it should be welcome though. You know, they've done something different by not.
It was all about being
on
different,
faces.
And ironically, and now it's too common.
Thing.
Does that make sense? Of course, no. Now, don't get me wrong. Of course. It should be welcome. No, I'm definitely being Asian myself. I'm definitely a big ambassador for that. Like, I'm a big supporter. But, like, I just, it just comes back down to, like, I take it back. Yeah. It's part of the core values. It's part of, like, literally, their audience base is that it's anybody and everybody is making everybody and everybody feel beautiful, feel wonderful. And that's, and fair enough. Like, power to them, fair play for it. It just,
we'll go watch it, see what you think, and then you can either tell me it was awful or I think it's good, or you can go, actually, yeah,
but,
just, yeah, to take that back.
I haven't seen it, so I can't be say. Even by listening to the concept of it, I don't think it's awful. Actually, it does sound like it's going to be good, but I just think it's a bit, yeah, we've had enough of this, like, kind of thing. Maybe it's just me. I've got a really... really low like threshold for this for anything really. It's quite easy to annoy me. Maybe it's just me. But
well,
hey,
we'll have a section of Gerda's text back
probably,
give you comments.
My thoughts on it next episode. But yeah. just shitting on Boots. But nah,
evolving.
I
call it evolving.
They're always constantly advertised well. Always evolving.
They've not lost their target audience.
Always, I think they've always done well. I mean, they've always relayed
like
their message really well.
Women.
I think everybody knows what
Boots,
they are. What
you
know, no?
Yeah. Ocado.
Oh, it's funny, actually. M&S and Waitrose are having a bit of war of words, weren't they? Like, they're their MDs.
No,
not Ocado.
Yeah, it's because of Ocado.
And Marks and Spencer.
Yeah, so Ocado currently delivers to Waitrose. Their contract's up at the end of March, I think, or end of April, something like that.
Oh,
and they've just signed with M&S. And it's a bit like Waitrose don't know what to do now. And M&S, you know, why are they doing it? It's a stupid move. It's too late to do anything, really. It's not gone yet.
Yeah,
I think it could still be saved, no, but at the minute it's going to die really quickly.
But it's on the way out. It's on its way out. It is going to die quickly. But one thing you got to say though, their ads were perfect. They were amazing, weren't they? Their ads when they used to like when they used to really the copy of the lady like talking
yeah,
about
it,
like
it's just
describing
not
their
just
food products
pudding,
and stuff like
it's
oh
M&S.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? The Christmas ads and the way they used to like make everything sound sexy.
Well, I can always make a tea out of myself. It doesn't need anything.
Yeah,
now
yeah, there you go. I didn't want to do it, but you know, fair enough. I'll let you take that one. What are you doing? Why are you making love to a chocolate pudding? Anyway, one second. Let me finish this off. So I've got a good ad, a really good ad that I wanna talk about. I came across it on LinkedIn actually. There was I can't remember the lady's name, but she was I think she was like one of the senior member of the team at this company who's basically, I think they were called Heist.
So like flattering
and they do shapewear for women. So like underwear, shapewear. And what it was...
knowing you, I thought you'd have researched it.
Yeah, I think that's what shapewear is. I don't know. I don't really know what shapewear is, to be fair. But you know me, mate. You know me. I don't need no facts. I just talk from the heart. Anyway, so what it was... So the whole thing is their shape... They're trying to portray that their shapewear is more comfortable than, you know, the others. Obviously, you're taking a jab at everybody else. It was all about being different, and that's what they were trying to do. But they nailed the whole concept of being different with this advert. Amazing. So what it is basically a photo of a lady, and she's wearing shapewear. You know, ideally they're competitors, quote unquote. And next to it says, so shapewear you won't want to rip off. And then what happens? The whole stunt behind it is, they've actually gone and so they've got a lady wearing some shapewear. Next to it says shapewear you won't want to rip off. And then what they've done is they've actually ripped off the photo of the lady wearing the shapewear.
I'm glad to see it. I think
it's the same lady wearing their shapewear. Yeah, you'll have to see it. It's not even a video, it's just like a picture. So basically it's a poster of a lady standing there with a shapewear on. Next to it is saying shapewear you wouldn't want to rip off. And then they've kind of actually ripped off the lady
it,
with
it, it
the
sounds clever.
Shapewear.
I think
underneath
I'm
she's
to
wearing
look at
their
it
brand.
And see, you know, if I didn't know what high
school was really clever, to be fair.
What they did.
The whole
and,
concept of
you know, where
ripping
it
off
and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh no.
One second, I'll tag you into the I'm tagging you in now. That's it. No excuse. Check it out. But you know what? It's clever because it's the whole like. See, this is very clever because I think it was a lady who was the senior, who was the director for it, and that's great. Like she's a lady. She's been put in that position, and she's targeting the audience that she's a part of. And I think that's so, because like, for instance, if it was somebody else doing that, like a man.
Yeah, they'd have made it overly sexual.
They would have got it so wrong. Because interpreting ripping clothes off women, you know what I mean? You've got to do it the right way, you know what I mean? And I thought they just hit the nail on the head there. I thought it was clever. It was different. It's clever. It's different. It's creative. It's the whole comes back down to thing of,
yeah.
You know.
Well, it sounds like
how
it.
Do you make your brand stand out? And I think
give it a
just hits the nail on the head.
Have a look. So what's your second advert?
Check it out, mate. Check it out. But I think...
I thought you said you had a good and a bad one, or is it just...
I haven't got anything else, I'm afraid, mate. I've only got a good one. I'm being positive this week.
Oh, okay. Well, that
case,
that just kind of made me seem like I wasn't looking.
No, I said I had one good one and not a bad one. You were looking forward to me just like going mad on some poor brand, weren't you? How dare you? No. I'm good. Positive vibes only, mate. Positive vibes up for this week. Don't worry. Next time, I'll be looking out. I just didn't see anything that come across as cheesy.
I'll tell you one I'd have had to want to talk about. Have you seen the Smarty one?
Why pick? Why make an issue where there isn't one?
How it's so. Yeah. No, you haven't, but I've seen it. Like, you know.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I think, did I send that to you?
What was our rating on Trustpilot? 1 to 5, and the answer is always 5.
Yeah. And it was, I think,
so Smarty is a mobile data provider, I suppose.
Can you explain what Smarty does again? Because I think I forgot.
Yeah, so it's a bit like
and it saves your data for 1 month and then gives it back to you, doesn't it?
But you know, rather than losing your data every month, you get to keep it. I think that's probably the simplest way to describe it. It's Smarty because it's smart and it saves, you know, what you haven't used.
And they didn't want the copy, the creative on the ad was so clever. They done something like, I can't remember the exact quote, but it was something like, what was it? It was something like, who gives you data back every month? And it was Robin Hood, Pablo Escobar, and then Smarty, and they were the options. And to be fair, I saw Robin Hood, and like, 'cause I was driving past, I saw Robin Hood and Escobar and the same like thing. I was like, what the hell's that? What's that got? What have they got to do with anything? And then it kind of got me like, I was just like glued on the ad. Then I was like, yo, that's really clever. Like, they're just bringing like things, they're bringing topics that don't really necessarily relate to each other. Bringing it in.
Perfect. And, well, good to hear that. I'm glad that came to my head.
Curious to read and see what's happening. So yeah, that was a good one. I like that. Thanks for bringing that up, mate. Yeah, good stuff. Anyway, I think we'll be wrapping it up. Have you got everything off your chest, mate?
Ed Hollands from Driven Media. Perfect.
Beautiful. All right, then. So this was Adcast. I'm Gerdas, joined by...
Lovely. Cheers, Gerdas. Bye-bye.
And...